Hey, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today, small cell front haul and ODAS. Now, believe it or not, I'm a big fan of DAS. In the beginning, for whatever reason, the DAS guys thought that DAS and small cells wouldn't go together, and they seemed to compete, but it's quite the opposite. They work well together, and they were actually made for each other. If you know a lot about indoor DAS, you're probably happy to have a low-power unit driving your DAS system rather than a high-power unit. But today, I want to concentrate on outdoor. And I also want to talk about small cell front haul because, believe it or not, front haul and DAS, ODAS anyway, even indoor DAS, it goes together, and I'll tell you why. First, let me explain front haul. We know what backhaul is, right? So from the baseband unit, from the BBU, back to, say, the internet or dark fiber, back to a core, to a macro site. But anyways, what it is basically an IP connection, a network connection, a virtual connection back to the core, okay? And the core is where all the controlling equipment is. So when I say controlling equipment in the core, mobile mobility entity, managing mobility entity, I just forget off the top of my head. But basically, that's where you have the MME. That's where you have all your large routers. That's where you have all your switch equipment. That's where the servers are, the billing servers, and so on. And I'll go into core in another time. But right now, that's backhaul, back into the core. So you got your BBU. Front haul goes from the BBU out to the radio head. If you work at a tower site, you understand you have that link that goes, say, from the shelter up the tower to the remote radio head, the RRH, whatever you call it. Some call it the outdoor unit, the remote radio head, the radio head, but you know what it is. It goes up there, and then it goes from the radio head to the antenna with an RF cable, a coax. That's on a tower site, a macro site. What you have with ODAS and even a lot of small cells, you're going to still have your BBL, your BBU, your controlling unit, your baseband unit, but you're going to have a link that goes out to the radio head. The radio head, if you're indoors, it could go to another part of the building, and it just sits there, like the Ericsson DOT system. With Alcatel-Lucent, they have the outdoor system they call the MRO, Mobile Radio Outdoor. And what you do with that, you have your BBU, and then you have your link that goes out to the radio head. The radio head, BBU can generally control many, many, many radio heads, right? And when I say many, I don't know what we're up to, a dozen, two dozen, more than that, you know, from one chassis, maybe 24. It's off the top of my head. Every OEM's a little different. It's hard to pin down a number. At least I think they're a little different, but let's say they control 24. So now you have one closet where you have your BBU and you can control 24 radio heads. These radio heads could be all over town. And if you ever done Verizon wireless installations, they're a big fan of these. Now, why would you want this over a small cell that's all inclusive? Has nothing to do with power, because the radio heads can be just the same power whether you get an all-inclusive small cell or whether you get a remote radio head. The reason Verizon likes them is control. What you're doing when you put these radio heads in, you're reducing a lot of the self-interference. You have the interference with the other cell sites. And in a HetNet network, it's very key. Like with macro sites, you can settle that. But with these small cell sites, you're putting up the tiny little cells everywhere, generally within the coverage of another macro site. It's just a dead spot, but you're still going to have bleed over, right? So you want them to know they're there so they can build a neighbor list. What a neighbor list is when they can see all the people. By neighbor list, they can see all the other cells around them, and that's the key. If they know a cell's there, they know they won't tramp on it, and they can do coordination. And in theory, this is what I thought the self-organizing network, the SON, was supposed to do. To manage all that. But the reason, if you have one BBU controlling all these radio heads, then it knows not to interfere with itself. So if you're putting the radio heads close to each other, you have one controller controlling several, and it knows that they don't want to trample on each other because the original assumption was they would be at the same cell site and the panels would be beside each other in a tower. Well, now they're not beside each other. They could be 100 feet from each other, 300 feet. They could be 6 miles from each other. Anyways, now you can control all that. However, you got to worry about the neighboring macro sites. So you're going to have your controller unit, and then you're going to also have to go for each radio head and put in the neighbors to that radio head. Not so different than a macro site. If you figure, let's say you have, just to make it easy, you have four in a tower, north, south, east, west. Well, the north panel is probably going to see something that's north of the tower. The south panel is going to see something that's south of the tower. So each radio head is going to have its own neighbor neighbor list anyway. You're reducing self-interference. You're gaining control. You're also controlling all these units, if they're miles and miles away, from one controller. So when you go out to the site, all you got to worry about is a radio head. Now, this is really a CRAN, where it's called centralized RAN, and it's an HBBU, which is a host baseband unit, host BBU, right? So what they usually call these are BBU hotels. So they have one controller, one place, and it controls all these different remote radio heads. And the remote radio heads could be, I think it's 1,900 kilometers by fiber. Wireless is shorter. Let's talk front haul. So the front haul is a connection from the BBU to the radio head. In Verizon Wireless's case, I'm pretty sure that they like to use dark fiber, so they have complete control, which is what you have to use right now. Now, this is progressing even as we speak. They're making breakthroughs in how they do this. So what do I mean by that? Right now, the reason for the distance limitation has more to do with latency. And the latency is the timing the signal leaves the BBU and gets to the remote radio head. That's latency. It has to be there within a certain time so it gets out at a certain time. With fiber, the reason it can go farther, technically, with fiber is because it's a clean shot. Fiber is very efficient, very quick. Off the top of my head, I can't imagine there's too much error correction, but there probably is. There's probably some check at the end. With wireless, even though it's a straight shot, with fiber, you know, when you say 6 miles, I'm going to just throw it out there, you could have a mile of bends and turns and ups and downs, and it could be routed up streets and down streets. So chances are good it's not a direct shot. You know, it's not likely if you're outside. If you're in a building, up the building, through the hallway, down the corner, down the hall to the left, but in a building, it's not an issue. But when you're talking miles, then it's an issue. But with wireless, a wireless link, and there's a company called eBlink that's working on this. The problem is a latency in the radio, because with wireless, you have a ton of error correction and checks and modulation, demodulation. It's all in these radios, and it increases the latency, the time that the signal leaves one spot till it ends up at another spot. All that's taken into effect. Now, with that said, is it getting better? Yeah, it's getting better. I'm a big fan of wireless, even backhaul wireless, in this case, front haul wireless. But that latency is a problem. I mean, it's just the way it is now. Are they correcting it? Yeah, they're doing a lot of runs and tests, because obviously we saw what fiber costs to run to a pole. It's not cost effective. I brought this up before, so that's why it's such a big deal. But ODAS is a lot of what Verizon Wireless is doing. And I'm sure there's other people doing it. They're just the ones I'm familiar with. I talk to a lot of contractors that do a lot of work, and that's a big one. So that's why I'm using them as an example, because a lot of the people I talk to have done work for them, and they know exactly what it's like. And it's going to lead into other conversations too, especially with installation and deployment. Because you got to worry about the front haul, you got to worry about the connections, you got to have fiber skills. And one thing that a lot of these companies do, they're very particular in how everything connects. So they like to make sure it's connected the way they like it connected. And what do I mean by that? They check it out themselves. However, I think there's going to be a lot of companies in the future, they're just going to rely on contractors to do all the work. Not everyone's staffed like Verizon Wireless. They have an excellent engineering staff, as I think AT&T Wireless does too. I'm really impressed with their engineering staff. So what I was saying, CRAN is what they call it. It's going to be centralized RAN, and it gets confusing because they also have the cloud RAN. Cloud RAN is very different. It's coming, and that's where they can run a lot of the applications on the cloud. Right now, the problem is a delay because the front haul has a lot of issues. It has to arrive on time. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If it's rerouted, it could be a real problem. So you got that. You got and CRAN and VRAN. I like when they call it VRAN because it's a virtualized RAN, but they want to run it more off the cloud. So, but the BBU in that case, in theory, could be anywhere. So let's say New York City, you have your BBU in New York City, and it could be running remote radio heads, say in Philadelphia. You could have your BBU in, let's say in California, you could be running stuff out of LA, Bakersfield maybe, that's where a lot of people used to have their hubs, or Ontario, and you could be running radio heads in theory up in San Francisco. Is it going to happen that way? You know, I don't know. That's a long hike. But I think that's the goal. That's where they want to get. They're already doing it with the core, right? The cores are becoming more and more virtualized, and it's better for redundancy. And now they don't necessarily, and I'm out of my depth here, but as far as the core goes, but the cores don't necessarily have to be in a market anymore. So the theory is they can have one, two, or three cores in the states. They can be fully geo-redundant, and bam, one goes down or one has problems, or if you want to do upgrades on one, you just switch to another virtually, and it makes everyone's life easier. I think they're still going to have multiple cores. It's just necessary to have redundancy. How they're going to do it, you know, I don't know. It's pretty cool, right? One other thing I want to go over is the ODAS I brought up, because it all ties in together. When I say small cell, really, and this is a definition of a small cell, it's a small cell site. But when you look at what a small cell is, it's really a low power radio head. It's a low power cell site. And a lot of these ODAS systems are low power because they want them out where the people are. Are they going to put high power units? Well, the beauty of CPRI, which is Common Public Radio Interface, which by that, it's a common radio interface between the BBU and the radio head. Again, Alcatel-Lucent is working with a lot of people on this. And the reason that's such a big deal is because now, for one, it'd be nice if, you know, you could buy anyone's radio head. Now, we're not quite there yet. But it I would imagine that'll come someday. The OEMs won't like that too much, because, and trust me, working with a BBU and working with a carrier, each carrier has their own frequencies, their own bands, and they also have their own features that they want in each one. And even simple things. Some companies want a maintenance port, some companies don't. Some companies want simple mounting hardware on, other companies want different types of mounting hardware. Some companies want it very site specific because they have a certain site, a certain spec in their mind when they deploy. Other companies want it very generic. They want to be mounted to anything anywhere. You know, it's to that detail. That's why the OEMs have to charge so much, because the R&D that goes into these things is incredible. Now, I just went over some of the hardware features. Imagine all the software features they want, and all the I can't even get into that. It's over my head, a lot of it, because they want so many specific features. You know, again, you have to worry about interference. You have to worry about how it will talk to the user equipment. You have to worry about statistics. You have to worry about location. So much crap they have to worry about. But I know I'm getting off subject here. So front haul is very critical, right? You're going to have the front haul from the controller to the radio head. We went over that with ODAS, outdoor distributed antenna system. Technically, it's an outdoor distributed radio head and antenna system. See, the traditional DAS, we just, and DAS guys will probably get mad at me, but traditional DAS, we used to just distribute the radio head with amplifiers. Well, now we used to distribute the antennas with amplifiers, is what I meant to say. Now we distribute the radio heads with the antennas, and you can distribute them anywhere. And it's really helped us with these breakthroughs. Now, listen, this has been around for a while, and people have been doing it for quite a while. And if you want to get better coverage and concentration, outdoors or indoors, this is a great way to do it. So I just wanted to bring it all up. A lot of you guys probably have already worked with this, whether you know it or not, whether you looked at as small cells or just ODAS. It's pretty cool. I got to tell you, why would you care? Because this is a big deal. Doing all this work, it's only going to grow. And one thing, kudos to Verizon Wireless for breaking down a lot of the cost barriers. And I know the other carriers will appreciate it, because now they're going to move into the market at better ROI. But somebody had to do it, right? The thing about being a pioneer is you get a lot of arrows in your back and you bleed. When you're on the bleeding edge of technology, it bleeds you out of money. It's just the way it is, okay? But anyways, I think it's pretty awesome. I think it's great what they're doing. I just wanted to point it out to you. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. And when you're working with these guys, look for oversights and point them out. Look for ways to be more efficient and point them out, okay? Hey, I'd like to thank Tower Safety for being a sponsor of mine. I really appreciate everything Tower Safety has done for me. Personally, if you need your tower training, I would go to Tower Safety. They're based in Arizona, towersafety.com, towersafety.com. And one more thing, if you've listened this far, I'm putting together a small cell handbook, okay? It's going to be about $15. And it's going to be on Kindle, and I'm going to release a PDF. There'll be two different books, so it depends upon what you want to get out of it as to what it's going to be. If you have any questions, reach out to me. You can go on wadeforwireless.com and sign up for my newsletter. You can give me feedback. If you want me to write about something, Let me know if I misspoke or misrepresented something, or if I'm just dead wrong. Let me know that too. Or if you like what you hear, let me know that. Just give me some feedback. Talk to me, people. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention. See ya.